Who you are, and I'm loved. Yours is the kingdom. We praise you, Lord. We praise the name of Jesus. Ooh. We praise you, Lord. I'm sorry, I just feel the spirit right now, so I'm just trying to go with it. Give me a second. We worship Jesus. I'm reminded this morning of Jesus' words in Luke chapter 6. It's the Beatitudes. You know, we know that passage. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for those who have thank God. But one thing that struck me is that he says a tree is known by its fruit. He says there's no good tree that produces bad fruit. And there's no bad tree that produces good fruit. He says you don't go and pick grapes from the thorns or go and look for thistles in the fruits, stuff like that. And it started to tickle my ear a little bit. Started to ring in my head. Because I was also reminded of what James says about faith. How it can either be alive or it can be dead. You see, faith produces fruit in our life. And I'm not talking about love, joy, and peace, even though that is true. The fruits of the Spirit. But what I'm talking about are the marks of true saving faith. And we all know what it is because the Bible kind of points it out, kind of gives us a description of what that faith looks like, of what that tree of faith, what it looks like, and what kind of fruit it produces. And it seems to me that the Bible in areas and our Lord and with Paul are trying to get us to see that, is our faith producing the fruit that it should be producing? All right? A tree is known by its fruit, and we're all trees. We produce fruit. Sometimes it's good fruit, sometimes it's bad fruit. But does our faith produce the fruit that it should? Paul says sarcastically to people coming against him trying to say that he didn't have Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He said, you examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. That also struck me. Examine myself. Is my faith where it should be? Does it look like what the Bible says it should look like? Does my life look like a life that's been changed by the power of God? And if it doesn't, it should start to move you, because you can read in those scriptures that says how alive. You can look at the First Testament church and Paul and Peter and James and John and look at how they lived and look at what the Spirit produced in their lives. And I'm not talking about necessarily miracles of great wonder and power and works, but I'm talking about a life that is no longer walking in sin, no longer is under the dominion of sin, has been changed and freed by his power. Does my life look like you have changed me, Lord? Or am I the seed that is on the rocky ground that the root is not really that far deep? It's only on the surface. And though it does spring up with life, when the sun comes out and the heat and the trial and the heartache of this world come, it burns it away because it wasn't really there. Examine yourself today. I encourage you, as I examine myself, Lord, is my faith alive? Is it dead? Are there good works? Are there fruits that the Spirit should be producing? Are they evident in my life, or are they missing? And if you're maybe someone in here today or online that says, you know what, I think there's some fruit that's missing, it's okay, because you can freely come and get connected with him. We have the freedom to come to him, that when we can examine ourselves because of his word and see that we're not where we ought to be, that we can get in relation with him simply by coming to him in faith and repenting and turning away from those wicked deeds and turning to him. Praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we come before you today, examining ourselves to see where we are, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, like David says, that you search me and that you know me, Lord. If there's anything that is unclean, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would make it clean. If there's anything in my life, Lord, that is wrong, Lord, I pray that you'll make it right, Lord. I pray that through the power of your Spirit, you'll supply not only me, Lord, but us all with the ability, Lord, to walk in the Spirit, Lord, that you have given us, Lord. By the power of the resurrection, you have gone and you have sent the Helper to give us the ability to walk. Lord, we say you love you. We love you, Lord. And I hear you say, if you love me, you'll keep my commands, you'll walk in my ways, and you'll walk the light, and your light will shine in this dark world, Lord. Does our light shine for you, Lord? Help us, Lord, to have our light shine and shine brightly, Lord, that people don't see us, Lord, but they see you. Lord, have our faith be alive, Lord, not be dead, Lord. We come before you today with repenting hearts, Lord. Make us stronger in you, Lord. Increase our faith, Lord, that the disciples said, Lord. Give us greater faith, Lord, that we may walk closer to you, Lord. As we draw close to you, Lord, draw close to us, Lord. And as we pray out to you, Lord, we pray that you'll give ear to our requests, Lord. We humbly come before you asking, Lord, these things. In Jesus' name, amen. It's offering time, y'all. It's offering time. You know what that means? That means you get to take part in another place of worship. Thankfully, God has given us and provided, and thankfully and faithfully we give back to Him what He has given us and what has provided to us. And I encourage you to do that today as they continue to play the music. Amen.
Faithfulness to me. Praise the Lord. I just need a bag of popcorn. Come on, somebody. Just give me a bag of popcorn. I can sit there and watch that again and again, because when you're watching that, you realize there's great stories behind every life. And we'll honor several today. And that's the commonality of it all. Behind every life, there's a story. And there's a journey. And you know what? We're on a journey, and it never stops. God has a plan. Amen? I know today's been set aside for honoring pastors, and October is Clergy Appreciation Month, and we just slid ours over a Sunday into the month of November, the first Sunday of this month. And when I think of honor to pastors, I always think of my early days as the Father singled me out with first and foremost a call to serve Him. I was not living a good life. In fact, I was living for my own passions and my own desires. And I somehow found my way into, through a desired relationship. I was kind of attracted, you know, to a young lady, and there was a condition that was placed on that. Her parents said, you know what, you don't go out with her unless you come to church, okay? So there's a price to pay, guys, I'm telling you. I mean, and so I ended up in a church that I used to sit on the hill on the opposite side of the church and mock those people because they were Pentecostal. I remember sitting there and laughing at them because we were entertained by how they conducted their services. And we were kids. I mean, riding bicycle to town, and just the glass doors of the church were easy to see through. And we laughed at people getting in the Holy Ghost. And then, lo and behold, I ended up at the altar, you know, down on my knees, down on my face. And God singled me out. And it wasn't long before I discovered, too, that not only has He called me to serve Him, He's called me to serve in His kingdom. And that was realized very quickly. It's God who clearly says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. Amen. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. And God had a plan the very first time. It was a crazy, crazy situation. But the very first time I went out on a date with this young lady, I found myself thinking about something that I didn't even want. I thought when I first went out with her that night, you're going to get married. And I was like, I don't want to get married, okay? I like the scene that I'm in right now. And there was something deep and settled inside of me that I knew that I was going to be married soon. And God kind of put us on a quick journey of calling me to Himself and then calling us together as a couple. And I guess Joy was 17 years old. And I was 19 years old, and we were shortly pastoring a church. The only other church I've ever pastored. You know, I've had the privilege of just serving a small number of congregations. Two. Amen. Amen. 41 years later, Joy, you and I are still serving the Lord together. 41 years. I like the feeling of being loved and appreciated and accepted and affirmed and cheered. And, you know, she makes me feel like the hero, even when I know sometimes I'm not, you know. And I love that feeling, and I appreciate you for all you've done to live Jesus in front of me all these years. Sorry. I watch her, and I see, you know, wife, and I see pastor, and I see Mimi. I think she loves that role better than any. I see Mimi and I see all those things, and I realize, you know what, I'm a blessed man. I have great riches, and riches are greater than, there's a lot of things better than rubies, and the virtuous woman of God is one of those things, and I thank God for that. God's always got a plan for our lives. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 probably come across my spirit as one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. And it says simply this, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, come on, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Amen. I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And I, you know, when I send that to somebody in a text or say that publicly on a platform, I don't say that just kind of spouting off scriptures. I believe that. Amen. I do. I believe that. I believe that's a reality. And long before, you know, I was even aware God had a plan for me, He was unfolding it. And it began when I started seeing joy, and joy showed me Jesus. And I thank God for that. I've come to understand that part of the call on our lives, specifically for Joy and I, is just investing in others to whom God has already called, just like He did us, before they were formed in the womb. And we have never been short of people that God had placed here with us to serve. And we can never really truly get so attached to those people, because there's a revolving door when it comes to those people who rise up and say, you know, God's called me. Today we'll end with an admonition to those who are still trying to define that journey. And first this morning, I simply want to begin by honoring those who are serving with me on staff. And so first I'd like to honor Pastor Noli Hall. I've known this young man since he was just a little guy. In fact, Pastor Gary shouted out to me sitting on the front row there, hey, throwback, you know, we were over here in the baptistry pool when I baptized the Noli as a kid. And when you think about all that God has done from early days till today, and he's only just begun. Come on, somebody sing the Carpenter song, amen? We've only just begun. It's just, listen, you don't even know. You can't even comprehend the plans that God has. And Anoli, I say that to you prophetically today. God has a plan, and He's, you know, page by page, chapter by chapter, He's unfolding that plan. I'm proud today of the man that you are, Pastor Anoli. The dreams and the aspiration that you have to live and to lead for the Lord are inspiring to me. He's a man of integrity. He's a man of character. And tremendous gifts that he expends to keep this ministry moving forward are most appreciated. Today, would you join with me? Pastor Joy, would you come with me on the platform here? And as you come, I'm also going to invite Pastor Noli just to stand and join us here. And would you give a warm appreciation, first of all, for Pastor Joy as she comes? Amen. Praise the Lord. And now, would you give a warm appreciation for Pastor Noli Hall? Would you do that? Praise the Lord. I want to be like you when I stop growing. I mean, long and lean and thin. Look at that, man. Isn't that nice? Come on, that's when you can just go to the rack and pick one up. You don't even have to try it on. Come on. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Pastor Noli. He'll be preaching the Word of God today. Always a tremendous honor to hear him preach the Word, and so he'll be preaching today. And would you begin even now in your spirit just to pray that God would anoint him and equip him for bringing that today. Secondly, this morning, I'd like to honor Pastor Gary and Miranda Saunders. You guys go ahead and stand if you would. I'm totally amazed at what God has done in these two. It's been fascinating to me to watch and to, again, just turn the page of each calendar month and year and see what the Lord continues to wrap up in their lives. A deep desire to live for God, to lead for the Lord, and especially in the lives of children. And that's when you have to move into patience and powerful creativity. And that's something that not everybody possesses, you know, patience and powerful creativity. And together they as a team have deposited so much into our ministry and to our students. And would you join with me this morning in just expressing a great round of appreciation to Pastor Gary and Miranda? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We appreciate you guys. Yeah, yeah, you can be seated. In addition to staff pastors, you know, God has always given us a ready supply of people who are just willing to serve. They're just willing to serve. And somehow, you know, God has enabled us to find a good match for places where they belong. And men and women who've given themselves to serve the Lord here and to release their gifts to the body of Christ and to build up the kingdom of God together with us. Pastors Mike and Bonnie Blow, would you guys please stand? Amen. Missions pastor, guy who has, you know, one of the things that has always kind of been a little extra of a challenge for us is having the time to just pull aside with a missionary and hear their heart, not just give them a service, but they need to be ministered to before they come here, and even after they leave here, there needs to be a steady connection. And so I thank God for Pastor Mike, who has availed himself to do that, and not only to encourage those who are missionaries or missionary evangelists, but also to travel the earth as well and preach the gospel and prepare other ministers in other nations. What an incredible journey. He spent the entirety of 2021 with COVID's influence on our society, preaching weekly online and in person, which is something he didn't really want to do. Amen. He didn't really want to get in front of the camera. But God opened up an unusual audience of which I had never been able to attract. And would you express this morning as they come appreciation for Pastors Mike and Bonnie Blow? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, this morning I was praying and I was asking the Lord, you know, God, what do you have to say to, you know, to some of these ministry people? And as I was praying with about Pastor Mike and Pastor Bonnie, and then all of a sudden I had a vivid picture of Susan Williams in my spirit, and I thought, Lord, what are you saying that you want to say to both of them? So I'm going to release this little prophetic word here that I believe that there's a season that you have walked through, and I believe you've walked through the majority of it. I believe it's about to come to a close, and that there's getting ready to be a button that the Lord's going to push, and there's going to be like a propelling. God's going to release in your life and in Susan Williams' life. I believe that there's a release that's getting ready to happen. So I would just tell you, ministry persons, both of you, to be ready, to prepare yourself, because it's almost like, have you ever, you know, go to the airport and they say, you know, if you're in section G, you can get in line now, and then section F can line up, and section, you know, and you're waiting for your letter. I believe that you're just standing there, and the next step is something God is just going to surprise you with. And so I just release that to you guys today in Jesus' name. Give them a hand, would you? Hallelujah. Pastor Jerry and Katrina Hardy, would you guys stand, please? This is a couple that just returned back to our house here at Carpenter Shop. We released them for 2+ years to serve at a congregation that was really in trouble and had no stability at all. And they needed a leader. They were like scattered sheep, and they needed somebody to lead them. And so they served our Lewiston location for over 2 years and have recently returned here. Pastor Jerry is always eager to encourage. Out of the blue, many times I receive a text message. A couple yesterday, just a couple of positive injections of God's encouragement. And so he's always willing to do that, to pray and also prophetically speak over many of you when you come to this altar. Would you express your appreciation this morning to Pastor Jerry and Katina Harding? God bless you guys. Come on up. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good, man. God's good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You guys can be seated. Praise the Lord. Pastor Bernie and Doris Hurdle. This is a couple that have big hearts for God's people. I was thinking about what I would say, you know, as I was praying about this yesterday. And I thought, well, you know, I don't want to say this and hurt anybody else's feeling. The Lord said, you say what I tell you to say. I said, okay, God. Pastor Bernie, you're a prince of preachers. People love to hear you preach. Amen? Amen? You say, well, he didn't say that over me. That doesn't mean that you're not, okay? But there's something that God has given you that is attractive to every audience. Amen. And that's why you probably wonder, why do I get invited to places that I get invited? He gets invited to some unusual places to preach. And he'll always, you know, not that he has to, but he'll always call me and he'll say, hey, Pastor Wallace, a church invited me to come and preach for them, you know, and he'll give me the Sunday and he'll say, so I want to let them know, I just want to run it by you first. And I hang up and I think, God, why don't you make more people like that? Not that he has to have my permission, but he respects me and he always clarifies the date to say, hey, is it okay? Can you release me on that Sunday? And God has put you in unusual circumstances. Everybody loves to hear this man preach, and he's a preacher in any congregation you drop him into. Would you thank the Lord for Pastor Bernie and Doris Hurdle this morning? Would you guys come? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why don't you meet them? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Pastor Ted and Kathy Stricker, would you guys stand, please? Here's a couple who was planted here a couple of years ago by God's design. And they started out right here in Ahoskie. And they have a tremendous heart to see people healed and people free. And you know, it's sometimes I think about, you know, sometimes I'll just think about these guys when I get ready to eat something. And I think, God, why did you bring them here to cause me, like your convicting power that they walk in just goes with you even when they're not around. Say, I can hear Kathy saying, you shouldn't be eating that, Pastor. And I was like, say, Lord, what? Look, Kathy's not here, okay? But God has given them, and I mean this sincerely, God has given them a deep desire in their heart to see his people healthy and healed. Amen. And so he's one of those guys that if you get in his presence for just a few minutes, you're going to hear the word healing come out in some context or another. And I believe they're God's agents for health and healing. Naturally, this is what I heard the Lord say, and supernaturally. I'm going to say that one more time. You are God's agents for health and for healing naturally and supernaturally. Would you express your love to Pastor Ted and Kathy Strickland? You know, some of you may be saying, well, I wonder why he's calling them in this order or why he's doing it this way. Let me just explain to you that I have a godly respect for protocol, too. So all of these people that have come before you have already either serving on staff with us or have already been through a series of challenges to get them to a credential level. You know, I have to tell people all the time. I have to tell pastors all the time. You don't carry credentials for the church. I have a card in my wallet that says I'm ordained. It's not for the Assemblies of God. You carry credentials for the government. the government says, the Internal Revenue Service says, if you are to take on a position as a minister and you are to baptize people and you are to serve Holy Communion and you are to dedicate children and marry and bury and do all those other things that life calls upon us to do, then you are required by the law, not by the church, okay? Because guess what? Credentials are already granted in heaven, okay? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You don't need a card to walk in that, okay? You don't have to have a group of men and women on a panel board to say, you know, Joy, we license you or we certify you. But you do that for your government. So every one of these persons, you know, that we've called are either serving with us on the staff or walking in that credential from their organization. So I want to continue here, and I want to call on some individuals that have just been God's gift and blessing to us in many ways, and also are still downloading that specific, that this is the way, walk ye in it. And so I want to recognize this morning, Brian Bissett, would you please stand? Your lovely wife, too, Hart, would you stand? Praise the Lord. I want to recognize you today. And, you know, social media has tremendous value. I got to know this young man through social media. And how many of you can say he's my friend? Come on, just raise your hand. And he's joined you in Facebook friendship or Instagram or something like that. And he's been a steady source of whispering into my ear encouraging things. About 25 or 30% of the time, it's lighthearted and comical. And laughter does good like a what? Like a medicine. So he gives me a spoonful of that quite often. Sometimes I'll just break out laughing and thought, where does he come up with this stuff from? You know, but God uses you, Brian, and God uses this man in powerfully in ministering the gospel and ministering to people. And would you join me in appreciating Brian Bissett and his wife Hart today? Praise the Lord. Susan Williams, would you please come this morning, and would you guys give it up for Susan as she comes? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have prophetically said some things to Susan over the years, and I believe wholeheartedly that this morning when I received that word from the Lord, it had a dual perspective to it. I believe that you're like, I just watched the Braves. How many of y'all watched the Braves whoop up on the Astros here last couple of weeks ago? And there's always a guy on deck, and he's got a bat in his hand. He's not swinging it right now, but he's getting ready to, okay? He's in the circle that they call on deck. And I just feel that for you guys, and now I say the same thing again for Susan. I think that God has uniquely, you're probably just scratching your head and saying, God, what do you want me to do? And I think God has his eye on you, and he is very swiftly going to say, next batter, and God's going to do something unique for you. 22 is going to be your year, Susan. I believe that. And would you give it up for Susan Williams? Praise the Lord. Michael Wilson, is Michael here today? Praise the Lord. I didn't see him early this morning. He's not here today. Praise the Lord. Michael serves with one of our elders, Julie, in Celebrate Recovery, and gives of himself. One thing that I've noticed about Michael is that he has become like a sponge, and the more that I've tried to release to him in the sense of what God is saying and what God is doing in his life, he's always said, you know, here I am, you know, I'm steady going, I'm patiently waiting, and God's doing some incredible things in his life, and he's been a valued asset to us. He helps with Celebrate Recovery, and many ways God has used him powerfully off behind the scenes when no one else has their eye on him. It's hard to be sometimes in that posture when you do things and nobody ever sees you. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? When you're working behind the scenes and you seemingly are not getting any credit for what you're doing. And I just appreciate his life and his witness. And God used him in the workplace too at Roanoke Chowan Community College. So I just thank the Lord for that. Let me just talk about for just a second another group of people. I'll never forget a Sunday when I preached on the call of God and 13 people came to the altar and said, okay, what next, God? I believe you're calling me. And I've seen some of those people come forward and stay the course. And some of those have fallen by the wayside. In fact, sadly, and this is the way it always is, sadly, one of those 13 not only has not returned to more than one or two worship services, but has come to the place where now I can't even get them to say, answer the telephone or respond back to a text. It's almost like I want to reverse the commitment that I made. But you know what? God doesn't do that. His hand is still on that person, and he will do whatever he has to do to get that person to respond. But there are some people that have said, you know what, I'm going to do this if it kills me. It will sometimes. The call of God will kill you sometimes. It will. It'll eat your lunch. But I want you, those of you that have responded to the call of God on your life, you've taken a class or two, or you've taken almost all enough to finish and get your credentials. I want you to stand up right now and just let us give honor to you for not only where you're going, but for saying yes. Would you do that? Those of you that have responded, God's called me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God has called me, and I've answered. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me just pray for you guys, because God knows the steps that he has for you and the way that you should go. Father, I pray in Jesus' name today that you would just continue to order the steps of these that are standing. Thank you for every class. Thank you for every answered call. Yes, Lord, thank you for just allowing them to move forward into the destiny that you have assigned to them. Before you formed them in the womb, you knew them and ordained certain things in their life. For this, we are thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Praise the Lord. There's another video that's coming, and then Pastor Noli is going to come and preach the Word of God to us today. I'm excited. Amen. God bless you. Calling all elders. We interrupt this broadcast for good reasons.
This is from. Did you do that? Okay, I don't need no mic.
Use your mic.
Hello, world. This is from the elders. We can't even begin to thank you for what you do, but this is just an appreciation, a token to say we love you and Pastor Joy and enjoy.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you guys. Thank you guys. Thank you so much, your elders who serve with us, and we've enjoyed our time of sharing with them and connecting with them and learning from each other. So occasionally it would do you good to say, hey, I appreciate your leadership to Carpenter Shop International Church. After this video, the next voice you'll hear will be Pastor Noli. God bless you guys.
Amen. shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn His face toward you and give you peace. As we receive, we agree. Amen.
Pastor Joy, it's me.
Emmy.
And we just want to say that we love you so much and thank you for being the most amazing pastors we could ask for. Thank you for giving God's word. Thank you for being amazing leaders. We love you so much.
And Skylar.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor Wallace, for your leadership.
Thank you for teaching me the word of God.
Thank you for sacrificing so much for our church. We appreciate you. We love how you lead by example.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Wallace. Thank you, Pastor Joy. We appreciate all the spiritual guidance that you provide for us and for your friendship. Thanks for all that you do for everybody at CSIC. We love you guys and happy Pastor Appreciation Day.
We just want to thank you for being you. Thank you for your prayers and for everything that you do. We love you.
Love you.
Thank you.
Well, would you give a big hand to Pastors Wallace and Joy? We love you guys. We're so thankful for all that you do for this congregation. I'm going to ask you to come forward, if you would. This couple has served this church for a long time, and they've invested so much of their lives into this house, and I'm thankful that I had the privilege of growing up in this church and being baptized by this man of God, and he's still investing in my life today, and not just in me, but in so many of us. You've heard how he's raised up leaders, and he's sent leaders out because he has a vision for this house and for this region, and he wants to see souls won, lives changed, and not just ministers, but many of us can say, can think of a time when Pastor Wallace and Joy helped us in a time of need, when they came and visited us or got us out of a jam. And so we just want to say that we thank you for what you've done for this house, what you've done for us, and may God continue to bless you. And we want to present you with a little gift. So thank you, Pastor Wallace and Joy.
Thank you, my friend.
We love you too. And as you can see here, there are baskets at the front. I believe there are also baskets in the hallway, so make sure that you, if you want to show your appreciation in a monetary way, make sure you take advantage of that opportunity. I am thankful to be home today for just a little bit to get to share with you a word that God has laid on my heart as we celebrate our pastors and our ministers. And I'm going to ask you to turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. I feel a special anointing in the house today. Amen. I feel a joy and a peace. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord with you.
As we show appreciation to our pastors today and bringing a message to you entitled, Stand Together, Serve Together. Stand Together, Serve Together. It's both a celebration of our church and an exhortation for us to continue to function as a unit in the service of God. So let's read together Exodus 17, verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim, which means places of rest. So Moses said to Joshua, Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. While Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, so his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. May God bless the reading of his word. This battle between Israel and Amalek occurs not long after Israel has crossed the Red Sea. God has supernaturally provided quail from the sky, manna from heaven, water from a rock, and Israel is learning to trust God, even in impossible situations. So when this group of marauding nomads, the Amalekites, attacks Israel, God demonstrates his miraculous power and his faithfulness to Israel once again. And we've seen the miraculous in our own lives. We've seen the miraculous in this church. We've seen bodies healed, lives changed, souls delivered, families restored, addictions broken. God is in the business of setting his people free. That's what God does. And not just some people. God wants all the world to know that his salvation, eternal salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. And that in itself is a miracle. That God would condescend to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to rescue humanity from sin. That he would love us so much that he would suffer and die for us before rising again in ultimate victory over sin, death, and the grave. And we thank God for victory. Amen. Thank God for the battles, because without the battle, there is no victory. And that's what we see here in Exodus. Having been collectively baptized in the crossing of the Red Sea, Israel's journey with God as a nation has just begun. Many battles, both literal and metaphorical, lie ahead. Many opportunities to trust God. And Israel did not simply leave Egypt and begin a carefree life. Once they were liberated from the bondage of slavery, they had to fight to survive. The Christian life is a battle. Sometimes we imagine that once we accept Jesus into our heart and begin a life journey with him, things will be perfect. Everything will just go our way. But the truth is that the enemy cannot stand to see God's creation set free. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, according to Ephesians 6:12, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And so sometimes you have to fight, because the enemy will do whatever he can to try to destroy your faith, cause you to complain, steal your joy, immobilize you with fear, cause you to mistrust others, get you to lash out at your family, tempt you with sin, trap you with addictions, and the list goes on. Even when you come to your Rephidim, the place of rest, a metaphor for the Christian life where you should be relishing in the joy of your salvation, even there, the enemy will attack you. The question is, will you rest in the resting place? Will you abide in the shadow of the Almighty? Will you trust God? Will you lift your hands to God in praise and let Him give you the victory? But God has not left the church alone in the battle. Not only has He given us the Holy Spirit, but He's given us also a special gift, the pastor. Pastors shepherd the flock, guide us, support us, encourage us, intercede for us, and so much more. And just as God appointed Moses and Aaron and Hur and Joshua to lead the nation of Israel, God ordains ministers to lead the church. Ephesians 4:11 through 16 says, and we saw it earlier today, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete stature of Christ. In other words, pastors and ministers help us be better Christians. They help us grow up and mature in the Lord until we look like Jesus. And judging from the looks of things, we still have a lot of work to do. They train us to love, win, build, and send, as we say here at Carpenter Shop. They help us learn to overcome the enemy through the power of the Spirit, and they encourage us to draw closer to Jesus in intimate knowledge of Him. So as the leader who would shepherd Israel through the desert for 40 years, Moses played a decisive role in the battle. On this particular occasion, he did something unusual. Moses said, "Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." And the word for stand here, natsav, is not the most common word for stand in the Hebrew Bible. In fact, it would be better translated here as "I will station myself on top of the hill." And I can hear the confidence in Moses' voice when he says this, because he knows his authority in the Spirit. He's not just going up for a casual look-see to watch the progress of the battle the way that we watch our favorite sports games or the way that we might look at the football game this afternoon. Rather, he's preparing to take an intentional stance against the enemy, a strategic position in battle. And while the soldiers fight below, Moses will fight above, interceding for God's people with lifted hands, leading God's people from a spiritual perspective. And it worked. As long as Moses kept his hands lifted, Israel had the winning edge. I mean, they didn't call Moses a prophet for nothing. Moses walked in a powerful anointing that came from the same God. The same God that you and I serve today. The same anointing, the same power is available to us also. And I could easily turn this into a message about prayer and intercession, but I want to focus on the role of the pastor today. The point I want to make here is that sustaining this gesture, the lifting of hands, a gesture of prayer and praise and intercession and worship and victory, proved to be no easy task. Moses' arms grew weary. Even the arms of a prophet can grow weary. Even pastors get tired. Even evangelists run out of steam. Even teachers need help. Even apostles need encouragement. Because all of us are fighting the battle together. As members of the body of Christ, it's easy to forget that because we're so used to counting on such leaders, the gifts to the church. We rely on leaders to give us confident direction, as Moses gave to Joshua, and to climb the hill to intercede for us. We take for granted the men and women of God who say yes to the calling of God to serve His flock. But it is no small thing for pastors to get up in the wee hours of the morning to pray for us in the hospital, before a surgery, or show up when a loved one dies, or call us back into line when we go astray, or encourage us to get back up again when we fail, or challenge us to do something new, or just simply listen when we go through a difficult situation. We need those who preach, who teach, who proclaim the gospel, who build up the church, who prophesy the oracles of God, and who remind the bride of Christ of her identity. We need ministry leaders, and ministry leaders need us. They need us, all of us. So Aaron and Hur, two other leaders of the nation of Israel, came alongside Moses. In other words, Moses was not alone, and neither should pastors be. Pastors need elders and volunteers and members of the church. And notice what Aaron and Hur did. They tended to Moses' needs. The first thing they did was put him in a resting position. They placed a stone under him so he could sit. Pastors need rest. In fact, it was in this resting position, in the resting place, Rephidim, that Moses and Israel won the battle. You see, pastors, we have to know the time and the season. Jesus criticized the Pharisees and the religious leaders because they couldn't discern the times and the seasons. They knew the seasons of the earth. They knew planting and harvest, but they didn't understand the spiritual seasons, and they couldn't discern what God was saying in the moment and what God was calling for the moment. And so we have to know the season that we're in, and we have to know the battle that we're in so that we can discern when we're in a Rephidim battle, when we're a battle where the resting position is the battle position. We have to know our limits as pastors and leaders, and we have to know when it's time to rest. And as other leaders and members of the congregation, it's our duty to help our pastors so they don't even get to that point. We stand and we fight together. We serve together. Because too often, pastors take on too much. And when they get tired, they try to push through on their own. This leads to a whole host of problems. Pastors fall, families fall apart, churches split, people get hurt. But Moses didn't try to do it on his own. When he had trouble keeping his hands lifted, his other leaders came and lifted them for him. When the going got tough and Moses' weakness showed, his leaders didn't criticize him or gossip or try to undermine him. They supported him. Why should we support our pastors? Because a house divided against itself cannot stand. And the enemy cannot withstand a church that prays together and serves together. Listen, when pastors keep their hands lifted and stay in touch with God, then the anointing flows and the battles are won and the church thrives and miracles happen. Souls are saved and lives are restored. Let's keep our pastors' hands lifted. After putting Moses in a resting position, the second thing the two elders did was hold up his hands because the battle had to continue. The work of the ministry has to continue. Standing on either side of him, they took the pressure of the battle off Moses. They removed the pressure of the fate of an entire nation of people from the shoulders, literally, of one man. The pastor is not meant to carry the pressure of the well-being of an entire church or ministry all by himself or herself. That is a recipe for burnout. Not even Moses could do it. Not even the man who parted the Red Sea could win the battle without help. Pastors need those who will intercede for them and the church. Pastors need those who will serve in practical ways. Pastors need a church that will help lift up their hands. And I'm thankful for a church that does that. I'm thankful to be a part of Carpenter Shop Church, a church that gives our pastor the freedom to rest when he needs. And it not only and not only that, but also the flexibility to fulfill the calling of God on his life. Many pastors and churches benefit from his leadership. I'm thankful for elders who provide constant support and encouragement. Volunteers who make Sunday mornings run smoothly every week. People who give of their time, talents, and treasures to make events happen and to do the work of the kingdom. It is truly a blessing to be a part of Carpenter Shop International Church. Come on, would you just give yourselves a hand? Thank God for what he's done in this church and what he continues to do. Being a pastor is not easy. It's a battle. But pastors do what they do because they are passionate about building God's kingdom. They care deeply about God's people and want to see us, God's church, thrive. And we are blessed to have a pastor who is dedicated to cultivating a church where all are welcome. We've heard Pastor Wallace tell stories about overcoming racism and even receiving death threats in the process, but God protected him and blessed Carpenter Shop even through the challenges. And this church has grown as a result. I mean, who would have thought people actually want to go to a church where they feel welcome? What an idea, right? Somebody should have thought of that before. Obviously, I'm being facetious, but it's true that no matter where you come from, you are welcome in this church. Come on, give God praise. And the church has grown not only in numbers, but also in influence. As we've mentioned already, over the years, Pastor Wallace has raised up leaders and pastors from this house and sent them out to do the work of the kingdom in other places. Almost 20 years ago, we planted a brand new church, Upper Room Assembly, in Gatesville, North Carolina, that is still thriving today. An entire community is being blessed because God gave our pastor a regional vision that extends beyond just a Husky. And that vision is why he's often on the road overseeing other churches in northeastern North Carolina to help them be more effective at what they do. And it's not easy work. Sometimes you have to make decisions that are not popular. But there's no question that Pastor Wallace loves pastors. For the past 9 years, he's dedicated himself to encouraging leaders through his ministry, Barnabas 21. And Pastor Joy, you've been with him every step of the way. And you've poured your life into this church, whether it's the women's ministry, the worship team, or the many other things that you do. And going beyond these four walls, you've spent your life providing comfort to families experiencing grief and loss. And I could go on about Pastors Wallace and Joy and their gifts and passions, but can we just agree that we love our pastors? Come on, let's give them a big hand. Many passions are in this house, and one passion may be raising up children in the Lord. Pastors Miranda and Gary dedicate themselves each week to creatively reach into the hearts of our children and communicate the character of God in ways that they can understand. One of the joys I found earlier in the pandemic was watching and listening to their captivating sermons each Sunday. The way that Pastor Gary, or should I say Mr. Ordinary, or as I like to say, Mr. Extraordinary, drew us into some action adventure, and Pastor Miranda would unpack the message with simple language and fun illustrations. And yes, they were sermons, because through all the laughter and entertainment, God implanted the simple truths of his word into our hearts. And those truths remain the same for both children and adults. It takes a lot of thought and energy to create elaborate vacation Bible schools and Christmas productions and trunk or treats and all the other events that Pastors Miranda and Gary do. And they don't do it alone. As a church, we gather around them to help make those things happen. And I'm sure many of you have gone out of your way to help make those things happen, or you serve regularly in the children's ministry or nursery throughout the year. On a fundamental level, we do those things as worship unto God, because we want His creation to be cared for and we want to see His kingdom grow. On another level, we also do those things because we love Pastor Miranda and Gary, and we appreciate the work they do, and we want to walk alongside them to accomplish God's purposes in the earth. Come on, give them a big hand. And I know that we've honored our pastors already, but I just want to reemphasize, Pastor Mike has a passion for evangelizing the lost, teaching the word, showing hospitality to God's missionaries. Matthew 10:41 says, "Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward." Pastor Mike, I believe that you have received and you will receive those rewards. And because of the work you do, this house receives the blessings of God, both you and Bonnie. In fact, and I know Pastor Wallace has already prophesied over you, and the Spirit is moving because I had a word also. And I want to prophesy over you right now that not only that you're sowing seeds in the kingdom, seeds that will sprout in due season. For you will reap what you sow. Be not weary in well-doing, for I declare that you will see a mighty harvest. New doors will open, and doors that were closed will be reopened. And you will do ministry in a new way, with a new zeal and a renewed passion. And God is giving you strategies for taking back territory from the enemy. And I believe God is saying to you, dream. Dream, because He's with you. Amen. Come on, give God praise. Pastor Bernie and Doris and Pastor Ted and Kathy, you preach and teach the word. Care for the sick. You teach us how to stay healthy and how to keep from getting sick, and you intercede for God's people. You do work for the kingdom that others don't always see, but God sees. And I see in you a strength and a humility before the Lord. And that serves as a witness and a testimony of the Spirit of God in you. Come on, give them a hand. Amen. Pastor Jerry and Katina, you serve God faithfully, giving tremendously of yourselves to the body of Christ. And nothing is lost in the eyes of God. God sees your sacrifices, and you're laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And I could go on and give them a hand if you would. I know that there are other ministers in the house today, and we're thankful for all of them. And so just one more time, by a round of applause, would you show your appreciation to all the pastors and ministers and leaders in the house today? Not one of these ministers does the work of ministry alone. And not one of us who attends this church does it alone. We all need each other. We stand together in the Christian life, like Moses stood on the hill, as we wage war against the kingdom of darkness and build up the kingdom of God. Let us remember today. Let us continue to minister to our ministers, minister to our pastors, even as they minister to us. Let us stay away from divisions, gossip, conceit, jealousy, and every other weight and sin that so easily besets us. We're on the same team, after all. We're on the same team. And personally, I want to be on the winning side in the battle of good versus evil. Let us look carefully then how we walk, making the best use of time, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let us remain in prayer, lifting up our church and our pastors and our leaders. And I know that there are many who pray for me. because you tell me that you do. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. Sometimes I can feel it, and I can tell when someone is praying for me because I feel those prayers even hundreds of miles away. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for praying for our pastors and our leaders. So let us ask, Pastor Wallace, what can I do for you? Pastor Miranda, how can I serve you? What does the church need? In doing so, we stand together and we serve together. Come on, give God praise. Stand to your feet. I want to invite our prayer leaders to come forward. Ministers, come forward to pray for those who have a need. Close your eyes, lift your hands. Come on, let's join Moses in lifting our hands to the Lord as a symbol of surrender, as a symbol of receiving God's power, as a symbol of readiness to serve. As a symbol of readiness to take up a strategic position and stand against the enemy. If you have a need today, whatever that is, I want to invite you to come forward at this time. We have a whole host of ministers representing the strength of this house, standing at this altar ready to pray for you. So don't wait. Come forward. Whatever that need is. Maybe some of you just need to stand right where you are and ask God, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to serve? How would you have me to pray? Where can I grow in my relationship with you? What's my place in the army of the Lord as we fight this battle together? As we bring love and justice and peace and healing to the world, God, what would you have me to do? Maybe some of you have been serving and you just need a refreshing. Maybe you just need fresh fire. Come forward. Come forward and get prayed for. Come forward and receive a fresh anointing, a fresh touch from God. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we bless you. Come on, let's sing a song to the Lord. Jesus, we honor you and we lift you up. We thank you for moving in this house and moving in our hearts. Father, we thank you that you have a divine purpose and a plan for Carpenter Shop International Church. Lord, that you desire for this region to know the presence of the living God. Would you move in us, oh God, today? Would you move in our community? Would you give us new strategies, new plans, new visions? Help us to get in alignment with what you're doing, Father. Help us to love, win, build, and send. Come, Jesus. Move in us today.
Yeah.
us who we are in you. Lord, we thank you for making us sons and daughters of the Most High God. We thank you for the way that you love us, the way that you make us feel your comfort and your affection. And Father, I speak a blessing over every individual in this house today, over every servant of God standing in this room today. I speak a blessing over every household, that you would prosper us in every way, that we would be in health and prosper even as our soul prospers. Lord, as we go forth today, use us, God. We make ourselves available to you. We say yes to you, Jesus. Have your way in us. And have your way in this community. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. You know, let me just say this. One of the amazing things for me is that we have an administrator that serves and does the entirety of what he does from Connecticut, which you'd say, man, how in the world can you really do your job for a church in Ahoskie if you're in Connecticut? Did you know that the vast majority of churches that are growing today in America have administrative people that are remotely obtained and they don't even attend that church? So I'll tell you, I have so much peace and gratitude for what Pastor Noli does for Carpenter Shaw. He's keeping me out of jail, and I thank God for that. Amen. I appreciate that so much. There's so many things that I appreciate about him, and one of the things is the proclamation of God's word. And would you join me in your daily life? Would you join me as a pastor of this church, and not just for him, but for all of them? But you don't see his face around here a lot, so you may have a natural tendency just to kind of let him slip off the radar. God has so many things, and he's positioned him in, you know, in his preparation. And he, too, stands at that place where at some point God's just going to swing a door wide open and allow Noli to walk through that. And I just believe that if we would just commit to pray for him. You know, the Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight. Come on, somebody. Two can put 10,000 to flight. And if you can just join us in holding his arms as well as he meets deadlines and shuffles papers and tries to find the file that he needs. And, you know, not just for Carpenter Shop, but for Yale University and for what God is doing in his life and his preparation. So we speak that over you, that God's just going to line everything up properly get it all done. We love you, man. God bless you. Thank you for that word today. Come on. Thank you for that word today. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for being here. And hey, there's an excitement for what God is doing next Sunday. I want you to prepare yourselves. An old missionary evangelist that's a great friend of the house here is coming back to visit us. Missionary to Romania, Bart Willoughby, will be here next Sunday morning. A preaching machine. He'll do an incredible job and flows in the gifts of the Spirit. So don't miss that. Amen. Pastor's taking a rest. Glory to God. Thank you for that word today. And Jeff, God bless you, man. Jeff, invited by someone here in the church, Susan Pauley. He said, hey, man, I started watching Carpenter Shop online, decided today I was just going to get up and come to the house of God. So, Jeff, we're glad to see you today. Thank you for being here. Amen. And all of you who are watching online, thank you so much for faithfully joining in every week and saying hello to us and praying for us. We care about you. We thank God for salvations. Even last week, we had two come to Christ online just listening to the broadcast. And so today, there's a lot of ministers that are probably going to watch, and you're going to recognize that God has deposited something in you from the word today and from our service today. And so thank you for being faithful online audience, and we appreciate all of you. God bless you. Fellowship among yourselves before you leave, and have an incredible day. From Pastor Joy and myself and all of the staff, thank you for your sowing into our lives with gifts and kindness. We appreciate it so much. All of the ministers that we recognize, you'd make us real happy if you could just join us up here on the platform. Let us take a picture together, and it'll be a great memory for us. So if we recognize you as the minister of the gospel, please come, all of you, so we can take a picture right quick. God bless you. Have a great day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's line up here. Praise God.